If there is such a thing, and apparently there is, wouldn't you like to be one of the happiest souls in purgatory, those that suffer the least and go through it the quickest? We will go through who they are as revealed in the book, The Secrets of Purgatory. It's an amazing little book. I invite you to check it out. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now I would like to reveal which souls are the happiest in purgatory and which have the easiest time in tearing from themselves this shroud of their egoism. Here is a poor and great sinner who has many weaknesses. God alone knows how he was educated and how many talents were allotted to him. He knows the secrets of his nature and his every hereditary encumbrance. Upon this unfortunate sinner, the Savior has showered his never-ending mercy, because the poor soul acknowledged his failings and sins and accepted every admonition without excuse, without contradiction or objection. He wants to better himself, for he listens attentively to all that is told him of the good God, and he prostrates himself before his Lord in a humble spirit. He thinks, if only I could become better. When this poor sinner lies on his deathbed and stands before the gates entering upon eternity, then this repentance, this acknowledgement of sin, is so powerful that it implores his most merciful Lord and Savior for the remission of his sins with such love as never before in his life. Oh, then the Savior is good, so very good. Then the shroud is loosed forever, and there remains but a poor repentant soul who confesses all his sins in deepest humility and who pines after the merciful love of God. In heaven, there are no more hindrances to the absolute bliss of the soul. Nothing more is wanting, for nothing excels a great and intimate friendship with our loving God. Thus can a poor sinner die, and our Savior goes with him into purgatory. There the soul waits until it is entirely purified, and the Lord takes it to heaven. Then the punishment is lighter and passes more quickly, because the soul was sincere, humble, and contrite. The merciful love finds great joy in his repentant child, pardons its failings and weaknesses, and remits its guilt. Here on earth, we have no idea how quickly such a soul enters heaven. Let us remember the thief on the cross. Jesus had many excuses for him: a poor education, few talents, many other things which moved him to mercy, especially because the thief was himself not satisfied with his state and wanted to become better. When he saw the Savior on the cross, he realized how he could become better and wholly reconciled himself to the merciful love. Oh, how good and just is God to poor souls. Oh, God is so good, lovable, and kind. How can we help but love him in return when we think of his goodness? Deo gratias. These souls are the quickest to enter heaven, who quickly sense their sins, who are not obstinately taken up with their own self-conceit. God judges us not according to our failings, but according to our good will. A soul who is always ready to recognize God's will and to do it is indeed by that very fact good. Such a soul does not quickly take offense when somebody reminds it of its failings and tries in a spirit of great joy, pleasure, and gratitude to overcome and lay aside this or that fault. Oh, such souls the good God easily converts, for they offer him no resistance. They are not stubborn and deceitful. Our Savior greatly aids them that they might rid themselves of their faults. Humble piety, this is so often lacking. It is so rare, a truly sincere piety. What does it profit us if we know everything about heaven and earth and do not know the most important thing, that we are nothing and can do nothing, that our actions are performed only through God? What does a storehouse of knowledge profit us if we do not possess the wisdom of little children? Without this wisdom, we are unable to recognize the merciful love, for is he not poor who knows nothing of mercy? The building built entirely upon self collapses because it was not constructed on a foundation of humility. Humility is a basis for all graces. Yes, for our entire life, if this wisdom is lacking, then all other knowledge and holiness amounts to nothing. Then it falls to pieces during the first windstorm. Where there is humility, there is weakness, there is also the power of God. And where there is contrition, there is truth. Oh, how gladly do I tarry with those humble souls in order to imbibe these deep eternal doctrines into my thirsty soul. I go there to drink at the founts of the merciful love, where humble souls quench their thirst. I am also a poor soul, so poor, so poor. But I have found that source to which the thirsty flee. Oh, purgatory is a beautiful place. There, God is so good, so good. I have been repeating this theme, which I find echoed in the Nativity, in the way that the Blessed Mother responded just before the birth of Jesus. If you didn't hear that, go and hear it. And then again in this book, that we must recognize, as the great patron of Texas said, that we are nothing and nothingness itself, that everything that we do that is good is from God. The day that we know this is the day that we are on our way to heaven. I will see you in the next one.